Before we kick off, we need to pray for a special man that's going to get married apparently Friday. Yes. Moja, come. Stand here on the hot spot. Now, whoever feels led, come pray with me, please. Yeah. Okay. Who's going to kick off? No, you guys must pray. Father, we thank you for Moja. We thank you, God, that he is your chosen instrument. Thank you, God, that nothing will separate him and his future wife from your love. Lord, that you ordain their footsteps. Lord, that your heavy cloud of anointing is upon them, Father, and you will use their tongues to turn nations. You will use their hands to heal broken wounds, Father. You use their footsteps to reach places others thought impossible. We bless them with your divine anointing, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We bless their union. We bless their covenant never to be broken, because a covenant may never be broken. We bless them with a heart after you the rest of their days. We bless them with wisdom in touching and reaching and being examples to the people around them and the people you've sent them to reach. We bless them with your perfect, pleasing, acceptable will. In Jesus Christ's beautiful name. Amen. Thank you. It's a lack of pleasure. Okay, I'd like to, before we kick off, well, this is part of the message, I'd like you to turn to one another and think of that in your life thus far that you've given the most effort, most attention to, and share with the person next to you. Take a few moments and think of what in your life have you given the most attention, most effort, most energy to thus far. And share with the person next to you. Go for it. I forgot to mention something that's joyfully willing. So that which you've spent the most energy, most attention to, and you've done it joyfully, willingly. All right. Forgot to mention that. Apologize. Might change some of your stories. You've willingly and joyfully given this thing the most attention, most energy, most effort. Okay. So, who wants to share? I want some feedback. It's part of the message. Who's brave? I'll walk up to you. Ah, thank you. Can this mic go this far? Is it fine?
The most, actually, it's the wrong one. Business and work and supporting.
Okay, business and work and supporting, yes. Sorry.
It's the ministry that God has called me to. Yes, that is in top list.
Yes, yes. Who's finished? Who wants to say something? Who still wants to share? Yes, it can go this far. It won't make a big boom or sound.
Okay. Children.
Children, yes. All right. Anyone at the back here? Anyone else with a different answer? Die lesie wat sê jy? Nee, ek wil 'n antwoord hê.
Die eerste is om my huishouding te bestuur, wat ek moet ek sê nie joyfully doen nie. En dan die ander is om to be my husband's helpmeet in every way that I can.
All right. Anyone else? Going, gone. All right. You're going to find out shortly why I asked that question. A while ago, I met a young man and who tried to commit suicide 3 times. First time I met him, we had a good chat a couple of years ago, and I discovered that he really struggles with a lot of loneliness. And that his dad died the first year at varsity. And that he started getting involved in homosexuality. But his greatest longing was for male affection, male affirmation, approval, undivided attention, a father's love and not the sexuality. He was really hungering for male affection. Male care, male love, not in a sexual way, just a father's love, a father's heart. His own father worked very hard. His own father earned a lot of money. His own father's love language was gifts. So he worked very hard. He hardly was at home, hardly spent undivided attention upon this son of his, but gave him all the creature comforts that he needed, gave him all the gifts. He got involved in show jumping, horse show jumping, and had a very extravagant lifestyle as a family, went to the nicest overseas trips and holidays. But the last 2.5 years since this man has actively started serving Christ, he's been going through a wrestling in his life to taste and see that God is good. And he became a group leader, and he had powerful encounters with Christ. He had real significant times with the Lord. He had lots of ups and downs, and we encouraged him to make male friends his age, other young working people. And he made friends with men his age, and they started forming a brotherly bond, not sexual, brotherly. He was serving Christ. He'd stopped with homosexuality, obviously struggling a lot in the mind, being victorious for a week and then falling for a week. And so he walked this road with this man. And previously he used to basically only have female friends, not male friends, but now he was getting affirmation from his male same age friends approximately. But still he longed for fatherly love. And he sought for that fatherly affirmation, attention, approval from his mates. And they loved him as a friend, as a brother in Christ. But he had unrealistic expectations from them that you and I know they could not fulfill. And they could not fulfill. And when they could not fulfill his expectations from them, he slumped and he came tumbling down in emotions, in feeling they letting him down, they not giving him as much as he gives them. He gives all to these friends, but they're not reciprocating because their expectation is different. Their need is different. Their longing is different because they have a different upbringing. They have a different personality. All right. I tried to be a father to this man, but I too disappointed him. No matter how I tried, I did disappoint him. I constantly encouraged him to spend time with God in the Word, to know God, to get to know God as a father, as a loving father. He went through the F's and all the E's. You know, the F's and the E's we have. Encounter 1, Encounter 2, Foundation 3, Legacy, Encounter 4, etc. He went through all of those. He did some Bible school. But yet there were many blockages in his heart. A lot of distractions, a lot of obstacles in his persona. Thoughts in his mind that blocked him from really sinking in, tasting and seeing that God is good and that God's love is all-sustaining. And then after the last time that he tried to commit suicide, he contacted us and I said to him, now you come stay with us. And you experience our home. You experience my very extrovert son. Who of you know my son? He speaks before he thinks. So, like his dad used to. But I've learned a few lessons since then. Hey, sister, we are the same, eh? So, my son just made him laugh. And my daughter just poured her love. They knew nothing. I would not share this, obviously, with them. My wife just made meals and... And after just spending one night with us, there was an instant change in his heart, in his persona. You could see evil healing starting to set in, starting to smile. Never smiled until then. He lost 10 kgs, started smiling, laughing, experiencing family and the caring of the family. And we were just going about our normal business. We didn't do anything extra. He was just part of us. But while driving with him, I believe the Lord gave me the key to his final constant breakthrough that him and I are trusting God for in his life. And we find that in Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. Let's go look at that scripture. Is it up there? Okay, let me read it off here. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And then the next one says, the parable of the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. It's an amazing parable. There are a couple of key aspects about these two stories. The first one that I want to touch on is the value that that person placed on the treasure and the field in which the treasure lay is astonishing. Obviously, the treasure represents what? Anyone. It's obvious. Heaven, God, the kingdom. All that we can find in Christ. It represents intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. It represents perspective. It represents understanding of who God is. It represents insight. It represents becoming one with Christ. Salvation. That's this treasure that it's speaking of. But it's interesting that the man goes and he says, I'm going to buy the field in which the treasure lays. Now, if I knew there was a treasure in that field, even though I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, and nobody's taking care of the field, I mean, I would be tempted just to go dig up the treasure, wouldn't you? Or are you much holier than I am? Oh, good. He's holier. Thank you, Johnny. You're a good example. So just go dig up the treasure. But this guy says, no, I want to buy the field in which the treasure lays. And so that shouts to me. It screams out to me and to you. There's an absolute honesty in the person's heart that wants to get that treasure. Would you agree with me? There's a deadly honesty. There's a deadly absolute sincerity in acquiring and getting that treasure. There's a no quick fix mentality. No quick fix. No shortcut mentality. And us extroverts, we like taking shortcuts. You agree with me? Yes. We like taking, but there's no shortcut in this parable. No easy way. He knows where the treasure is hidden, but he will not dare to take it. He will buy the whole field where the treasure is buried. The treasure is so precious, so holy, so pure, so valuable, it may not be easily, cheaply, dishonestly gotten. Listen to that. The treasure is so precious, so holy, so pure, so valuable, it may not be easily, cheaply, dishonestly attained or gotten. No. Let's do it the right way. Think of this picture. You know, in these sci-fi movies, I think in Star Wars, who watched Star Wars here? I know it's New Age. I know there's a lot of evil stuff, but I like the special effects. And they had this whole army they were producing in these artificial breeding chambers. Who saw that? No one. Okay, some. All right. So they had these artificial chambers where they bred these soldiers, real people. So obviously the fertilized egg was bred, and this human being grew in these chambers, the whole army. And then you look at that, and you look at the shortcut they take there to produce a human being with the same genetic code, and you compare that to a mother growing a child in a womb. Now, if you don't strive after the treasure of the kingdom of God the right way, not a shortcut way, not an easy way, not a cheap way, if you take cognizance of how holy and how pure and how amazing and how wonderful it is, you'll be like someone that produces a child out of a birth chamber and not a mother that produces a child in her womb. The correct way, the right way. Going through the right channels. Investing all our time and effort. This man that got the treasure invested all of his time, all of his effort to acquire that which undergirds, which stores, which secures the treasure, which is the field. You see that with me? He buys the field. The field, what does the field do for the treasure? It carries the treasure. It protects the treasure. It's a place, a foundation for the treasure. So it undergirds, it stores, it secures, a security place for the treasure. That field, I would dare to say, is the written word of God. That field, I would dare to say, is the God-loving, God-fearing children of God. You will find your treasure in the word of God. You will find your treasure, you will find God and His power, His glory by mingling and being with the children of God. Not any child of God, but those that are God-fearing and God-loving. Remember, the treasure represents all that God has for us. And it's found in these places. Now turn to one another and tell each other who God is in your understanding. Now, who do you, if you had to describe God in your understanding to the person sitting next to you? I really want to ask no one to look at me at this stage. All right. All right, who wants to share your explanation of who God is? Anyone?
For me, He's the loving Father, and He's the Creator, and He's just all over and always there for us whenever.
Sure. Amen. Anyone else? Come on. Who wants to share?
I said sovereign in every way.
Sure. Sovereign anyway, in every way. One more person? Ah, thank you. The people at the back are bolder than the folks in front. Folks in front are just hoping not to make eye contact with me.
He's holy, omnipotent. He's in every way perfect.
Sure. Powerful. Sure, that's powerful. Thank you, Lord. What did you say? He's everything to you. Beautiful. Praise the Lord. Holy, omnipotent, perfect in every way. All right. Now, the next question will keep you awake in this service. You're going to do lots of work with me. The next question is, turn to one another and tell each other, what amount of effort does this God deserve in your learning of Him, drawing close to Him, becoming like Him? Turn to one another. Now you guys must really go dig deep. What amount of effort does this God deserve in the learning of Him, in the drawing close to Him, in the becoming like Him? Buzz like a beehive now. Okay. Right, I see you've got lots to say.
He deserves our total effort. He deserves all our energy, all our resources, everything that we have. He deserves all. More than all.
That really sums it up. Anyone else wants to add? Yes.
Yes, digging into His Word, I found the most precious treasure, Colossians 1:27. Christ in me, my only hope of glory, and I practice continually the presence of Christ in me.
Okay, folks, in the beginning of this message, I want to say this thing. What kind of devotion and attention does He require? Not only that He deserves, but He requires. Okay, the first question, what was the first question I asked when we kicked off this morning? What have you thus far joyfully, willingly spent most of your time on and your energy and your effort? Were some answers saying my wife. Some answers were life, taking care of the household. You know what answers you gave in telling each other what you have spent thus far most willingly and joyfully your energy and your time and your effort in. Now, compare that which you've poured yourself into joyfully and willingly to what you need to do to become like Jesus. And dig up this treasure. Would you say equally as much effort, energy, passion? Or would you say more? Okay, who dares to say how much more? A figure. Give me a figure. Whatever you say, God's going to hold you to it. No, I'm just teasing. No. God sees our hearts. He knows we're weak. Who wants to give us a figure? You answered first. Compared to what you spent with your wife in the effort, as much, twice as much, 1.5 times as much, would you like to? Yeah. She doesn't mind. I know her. She's happy you answered. Otherwise, God will remove her. He's a jealous God. It's good you answered the right answer there. Yeah. I would say even 10 times more. 10 times, just to give a figure. 10 times as much effort, energy, strength, passion that you have spent into your activity thus far in your life with willingness and joyful abandonment, at least 10 times more in discovering, tasting, and seeing who this God is. This young man became so self-obsessed that I spoke of Nana. With all of his needs, with all of his lacks, he lacked a lot. He was too focused on hoping others would fulfill his expectations. He was hoping in his friends, his new made friends. He was hoping in me and other people to fulfill his expectations, to satisfy his need for love and belonging and attention. He wanted to get it from his friends and from myself and others to satisfy his need for love, for belonging, and for attention. The key jewel in that box, there are a lot of jewels in that treasure chest. The key jewel in that box is his love for you. You truly will be able to handle any and all crises, be victorious in all circumstances, be secure and safe in all massive disasters, if you choose to make your life pursuit to discover the love of God for you. Make discovering the love Jesus has for you your number one priority. In that chest that you have, that is bedded in the Word of God, bedded amongst the children of God, you'll discover His love. You'll discover the working of the Holy Spirit. You'll discover how to become intimate with Him. His love should become our greatest reality, far superseding all other realities. His love in that treasure chest is a lot more than just His love. But His love is the foundation of that treasure chest. His love is actually the chest itself, I would say. The golden box in which you find everything. That golden box is His love. Your greatest truth should be His love for me. These two parables say basically the following sentence, and I'd like Leah to come up with her child now. Let's go look at Psalm 73, verses 25 to 26. Where's Leah? Can she come or not? Okay. Oh, yes, someone's running. Oh, bless, praise God. Leah, well done. I like the extroverts. They're so passionate. Leah, just sit for a while. I'll tell you when to do it, eh? Okay. So, let's go look at Psalm 73, verse 25, 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Now, if we go read that in the Message Bible, listen to that. You're all I want in heaven. You're all I want on earth. When my skin sags and my bones get brittle, God is rock firm and faithful. They love it. Okay. Leah, go for it. Okay, that's enough. Thank you very much. Is the penny dropping? All of you. You're all I want in heaven and in earth. The reason I ask the question, who our God is, I believe most of my life I've lived really not considering who my Creator is. Being caught up in daily affairs, being caught up with challenges, being caught up with a whole lot of stuff, being caught up with insecurities and fears and worries, you name them. And really not considering who God is. And what He says to me, what He feels about me, what He thinks of me, and what He wants to do in and through me. That's been in the back of my mind. Sometimes have left my mind. If God is who He says He is, and I believe we all believe it, how much effort does He deserve in us discovering Him? My challenge this morning is, to me and to you, in summary, these two parables speak of three things basically. God wants total sincerity, total honesty. No shortcuts in you buying that field, acquiring, getting into His Word, getting close to people that know Him intimately, learning from God-fearing, God-loving people, which are the field where His treasure lays. His Word and His people. But you must pursue that with total sincerity. Total honesty, realizing that you don't want to birth something that's in a breeding chamber, but you want to birth something like a mother births a child, carries it for 10 months, goes through the discomfort, goes through all of that stuff, and births the child to have amazing joy like Leah and the other mothers experience. That is unsurpassing to any other joy except their salvation. And maybe their marriage day. It far supersedes. So total sincerity will help you. And total honesty and valuing, placing a beyond measure understanding value upon the treasure which represents getting to know Christ. The kingdom of God. His way of doing things. The second thing is a total appreciation. An absolute appreciation. I've actually mentioned this already, for His Word and His disciples. And the third is a total sacrifice. We've discussed these points just as we spoke through the last few minutes. A total sacrifice and a giving of all our passion and energy and focus. Passion, energy, focus to acquire the most important relationship and His love that is a sustaining truth. Can I read that again? So we must give all of our passion, all of our energy, all of our focus to acquire the most important relationship and His love, acquiring His love that is a sustaining truth. I'd like us to watch a video, a song. We might not watch it through, but let's get it on so long. Watch how this artist builds this model and listen and read carefully the words that are sung in this song. And let it be a heart's cry from your heart to God. Let's close our eyes. Just want to give a few moments and I want to ask I see the heart was beautifully formed in this picture, in this song. Fortunately, we couldn't hear the words, but you can listen to it another day. And then came all the layers of life's issues, life's pressures. But God uses all those layers, like this artist used all those layers to strengthen that heart after he broke the mold. Did you see that? And then he painted it. And God will use whatever chemosh you've had to go through, whatever pain, whatever issue, whatever blockage or wrong distraction or thing that has distracted you from him, that has built a wall around your heart, to be able to give your all to get that treasure. Those blockages that hinder you from throwing everything you know you need to do into getting that treasure. God will use all that stuff and make you stronger and break that mold and then cover you with the most beautiful paint. He'll finish the work that he started in you. God is the author and the finisher of the breath he's given you. He'll make sure you'll end off well. Just give him all of your willingness and acknowledge, God, I can do thus far. I can do no more than where I'm able to do right now. The capacity I have now, I give to you. Help me to sell all, to give all, to do all, to acquire this treasure of surpassing glory, which is your kingdom. I'd like to just give you a few moments to talk to God in response to this.